You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Bill, the big news of the week, I know the team's playing on the field and everything, but I think the Jonathan Papelbon release kind of stood out as a headline, maybe an inevitability in some ways. He hadn't really been pitching much or pitching in high leverage spots since Mark Melancon was traded for. And then he, I guess, requested that he be released, and now he's free. The Nationals let him go. At the end of the day, this almost seemed like they needed that roster spot for something else.
Well, they did need the roster spot. They needed Ronaldo Lopez to be that fifth starter, and it looks like he is going to get another start at least. And he did a great job on Saturday. The thing about Papelbon, I want to correct something here. Papelbon was going to be designated for assignment. But Papelbon's agent asked for Papelbon to be released so he can help him get a job quicker. When you designate it for assignment, it's going to take about 10 days to clear everything up. So he didn't ask for his release. It was going to happen because, you know, his last five appearances, it wasn't very good. So it's a shame, though, because, you know, he had a 2.53 ERA on July 23rd, and then all of a sudden it went downhill after that. And it's too bad it happened. He's not that bad of a guy, and we'll see where he ends up.
That's good clarification. And I would think he's going to end up somewhere, Bill. I know he hasn't been great lately, but I also know that most teams think that they have the person who can maybe tweak something and fix a guy. And Papelbon, I think if you have a strong clubhouse, I think he can fit in nicely somewhere and be somewhat effective in a role in the bullpen. I know he's not going to close anywhere, but it'll certainly be interesting to see what ends up going on with him. You mentioned Ronaldo Lopez, and he gets his first major league victory in a solid outing. Seven innings, he allows just the one earned run on five hits, only a couple of strikeouts. He's now 1-1 in 3 starts. And maybe, I mean, we've done all this talk about Lucas Giolito, but maybe at this point in their two careers, is it fair to say, Bill, that maybe Lopez is a little more ready for the major leagues?
Oh, there's no question about it. I mean, if you talk to people inside the Nationals organization, they won't come out publicly and say it. But Ronaldo Lopez is far more ready than Giolito is right now. So, I mean, when you saw Giolito, I mean, the guy was getting hit hard. You can say the same thing for Lopez, but Lopez was able to get his act together on Saturday, and he didn't strike out many people. He's known for the strikeouts, but I mean, the bottom line is to get outs, and that was pretty good the way he was getting them.
Yeah, he's got that hard fastball. I know. I think it's rated 70 on the 20 to 80 scouting scale as far as our guys go. He's the Nationals' number 3 prospect. Giolito, obviously, number 1, but those prospect ratings are more about eventual upside than current right now. And right now, it seems like Lopez is a guy that can certainly contribute here at the major league level. That's the positive as far as pitching goes. The negative is not sure what's going on with Steven Strasburg right now, Bill. Definitely a downturn, and all pitchers hit these, but his last 5 starts, he's just 2-3. The ERA over 5, he's still piling up the strikeouts, though. So what has kind of gone wrong here over this last month for Strasburg?
Well, I want to talk about last Friday, the game he lost. He was hit hard. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt here. It was hot. It was boiling hot. I don't see how Strasburg survived. If you watched him pitch, he was sweating profusely. I really believe he ran out of gas early in that game. And, I'm just going to say, hey, that's just one start. I'm not worried about him. He's still 15-3. I still think when it's all said and done, he's going to have a great record. He's going to guide the Nationals into the postseason. So I'm not worried about it.
Better to hit that little slide in early August than in late September or October, that's for sure. As far as the offense goes, Bill, when you look at this offense, some things are kind of starting to come together. I mean, obviously getting Bryce Harper back after he missed basically almost a full week is a nice addition. He had the stiff neck back in the lineup, came through with a hit on Sunday. That's key. And then Anthony Rendon is starting to hit, and I think there was some question if this would ever happen again. But since the All-Star break, 6 homers from Rendon. He's driven in 21 RBIs in his last 24 games. Mm-hmm. What's different about Anthony Rendon?
Well, I think the good news is he's back to his 2014 stats, and as far as the way he's hitting, I just think it's not putting a lot of pressure on himself. I think he's back to being the guy we're used to seeing, and I think from this point on, I mean, I think he's going to be one of Dusty Baker's clutch performers. I just think now he's, you know, what's helping is he's going the other way. I mean, when he hits all over the field, that's when you know Anthony Rendon is in great shape. That's why he had the great season in 2014. When he pulls everything, that's going to be a problem. So, so far, so good with him, and it should continue when they're in Colorado.
Yeah, that's a good place to go when you're starting to warm up, that's for sure. So Rendon being hot would be a huge lift for this team if he can keep it going. As far as Harper goes, missing the time, obviously, five games, I almost feel like maybe he needed a little break, though. Could this be a good thing in the long run that he was able to sit out for a little bit, maybe rest up? Obviously, he had the injury, but to just take a step back for a few days?
I think that's the way everyone's looking at this. I think everyone is looking at it as, hey, he needed the break. He was in a slump, a terrible slump. But you know, the thing that always bothers me when it comes to Bryce Harper is that whenever something goes wrong, there's always controversy. And, you know, as you know, Tom Verducci wrote that story that Harper has a shoulder injury. And you know what? I got to say, Tom Verducci has a great reputation. He doesn't lie. I mean, I believe someone told him that it was happening. I believe someone close to Harper told him that. I mean, why would Tom Verducci make that up?
Right.
So we got to, you know, wait and see the rest of the way that he's okay and that he really doesn't have a shoulder problem. We have to wait and see.
Todd, three-game sweep of the Rockies, four in a row overall for this Phillies team. They're 8-4 in August. Suddenly, this is like the Phillies team that we saw earlier in the year as far as competing, but I feel like they're doing it differently. They're doing it better because it was all about the one-run games back then, and you knew it would kind of even out. But now, they seem like they're just playing good baseball.
Yeah, they really are. And, you know, offensively, they're being a little bit more productive, giving the pitching staff a little bit more leeway than they were when they were after that. I think they were 24-17 through, you know, mid-May. And you just knew that was not going to last because, you know, you can only win so many 2-1, 3-2 games. After a while, you're going to have to start scoring some runs. So the bats have been coming around a little bit. Cameron Ruff has been productive. You know, believe it or not, Ryan Howard has been productive, surprisingly so, in a reserve role. And it kind of has some people going, what do you think they could trade him before the end, you know, before the end of the month? And, you know, which is honestly a question you didn't think anybody would be asking just a few weeks ago. But certainly, you know, they're pitching better. The back of the bullpen has been pitching better. They've been getting some decent starts from time to time. But really, that offense has helped them out quite a bit.
Yeah, and you mentioned the pitching, and the pitching's been there sometimes, not other times. And obviously, some issues now because Eflin likely done for the year, and he had kind of been figuring it out a little bit. How much of a big hit is that to lose Eflin for the rest of the year with the fracture in his foot?
Yeah, it definitely hurts them. But, I think at this stage of the game, it hurts him more in terms of development than it hurts the team. Because I still think the team in the front office especially is still realistic about what they want to accomplish this season. And while it is great in their minds that the team is playing well and maybe kind of inching up a little bit closer towards that 500 mark, they know that this is a development year. And so to lose Zach the rest of the season for any stretch of time, I think they were hoping to see him a little bit more. His last three starts, he had really struggled, probably because of that stress fracture in his foot and his knee issues. I think they were hoping to give him a look a little bit longer. But the good news is, you know, it shouldn't be anything too serious. They don't think. And going forward, they're still really high on him, and I would expect him to, you know, certainly challenge for a rotation spot next year if he's not back this year.
Another guy that'll be challenging for a rotation spot next year, Jake Thompson, who now has picked up his first major league win, and what a difference a trip through the rotation makes, because he such a rough go in his major league debut, but such a difference against the Rockies. He gets the win and has kind of a historic moment when he has four strikeouts in one inning. That's one of those weird stats that you don't necessarily want because it means something went wrong at some point. But nonetheless, he did it. Second Philly to ever do that. What was the biggest difference you saw from major league debut to first big league win for Thompson?
Well, I think the biggest thing, honestly, was probably his nerves settled. Now, he said after that debut in San Diego, he swore that he wasn't nervous or amped up or anything like that. But if I talked to, I think it was Carlos Ruiz caught that first game, and he said he was amped up. He talked to Pete McCann, and he said he was overthrowing that first inning in San Diego. So I think he settled down a bit. You know, you can't help but be excited, nervous, et cetera, in your first major league start. You know, Zach Eflin got experienced that in Toronto back in June. So, I think settling down certainly helped him out a little bit. And then, you know, with settling down comes better command of your pitches. He didn't have as many pitches up in the strike zone, out over the plate. And certainly when you're not doing those things, you're commanding your fastball a bit better. That sets up everything else, and he's enjoying a little bit more success.
There's one thing this Phillies team could use a little more of from its rotation is innings, I think, and taking some of that pressure and burden off the bullpen. Is that something that the starters talk at all about here late in the year, being able to maybe get a little deeper into games and bail out that bullpen?
Yeah, I think so. That has been a little bit of a cause of concern. Other than really Hellickson and Eichhoff, there hasn't been, and really Aaron Nola early in the season before he got hurt and before he started to struggle, the rotation has not been really pitching too deep into games. And Velasquez, his pitch count just gets so high in the first few innings. He's been walking too many batters, which he says has been an issue for him. So certainly going forward, they would like to pitch a little bit deeper. But the issue there is some of these young pitchers, and I'm speaking of Velasquez and Eflin before he got hurt, the Phillies are trying to monitor their workload, so they're also not going to necessarily be turned loose. So it's kind of a catch-22. You want them to pitch deep in the game, but they also want to be mindful of their workload because they haven't really necessarily pitched too deep in their too many innings in their professional career. So, and then the third aspect of it, of course, is when guys are going through rough stretches. You know, Adam Morgan, who pitched the other day and had to leave because of a bruised forearm, he had struggled early, so he hadn't pitched too deep into games. So there's a lot of different factors involved, but certainly going forward, you know, you'd like to see Velasquez be able to go a little bit deeper. You'd like to see Eichhoff and Hellickson continue to pitch deep. And then maybe, some of these other guys, Morgan specifically, they can get into the sixth inning or even longer.
Joe, the Marlins, with a win on Monday, tied with the Cardinals for the second wild card spot heading into Tuesday's action. But you look at what's happened over the last week with the injury to Giancarlo Stanton, the injury to Adam Conley to disable this. Stanton, of course, done for the year. And suddenly things feel stacked up against the Marlins, but they've dealt with stuff all year long, and they played most of the first half with a subpar Stanton. So is there still a vibe in that clubhouse that, hey, even though we've been hit with these setbacks, this is a team that can still get it done and still find its way into October?
Well, I mean, the standings tell you that. And, as Tom Mangley said yesterday, the guys have kind of come too far to kind of stop now. But clearly, it's kind of interesting because I think back to spring training when the thought was this team could contend if they have no injuries, they just don't have the overall depth, can't lose, major impact players. But it's not just Stanton that's out. The lineup has been without Justin Bour since July 2nd, and he left with, back then with 15 homers and 46 RBIs. So imagine if he were playing all this time. So, you can kind of sustain, losing Stanton or Bour, but being without both of them really kind of has them scrambling. And the only glimmer of hope is that maybe, just maybe, best case scenario, Stanton needs exactly 6 weeks. If that's the case, it's the final week of the season. And if they're, in it or need those games, he possibly could be available, for those final games and then into the postseason. But that's everything lining up and being a perfect world. And, that hardly ever is the case.
Seems like every year it's something, right? With Giancarlo Stanton, it late season, misses the end of the year. It's got to be so frustrating for a guy. And And he's such a big physical guy that I think it always surprises everybody. I mean, there's been obviously getting hit in the jaw with a pitch is a freak thing. And this is almost a freak thing because he's trying to stretch a single into a double. How frustrated is he? Have you gotten a chance to talk to Stanton?
No, we haven't seen him since the injury. And apparently, you know, that was literally the last play of the game.
Right.
He was attempting to take an extra base. And, you know, he had been dealing, Tim, with a little bit of a sore hip anyway on that side. You might recall about a week before the injury last Saturday night, he made a diving catch in right field, and he kind of jammed his left side, the hip area, and he missed a game or two. So, you know, they were already monitoring that area. So you just almost wonder if it was almost a time bomb that at some point it was going to go, whether it was, you know, what happened to final play on Saturday or if at some point, thereafter. But as you note, you know, there isn't a more imposing or impressive, body type in the game, and he is who he is because he is that big and that strong and that, intimidating. But that body has had its struggle staying on the field over 162. And as you noted, getting in the face in 14 and then even last year breaking a hamate bone on a swing. Guys break their hamate bones, but the thing is that even was supposed to be like a 4-week recovery, and it took several months, obviously, the rest of the year. So, what do they do to, help him stay on the field longer? I mean, there's only so much you can do, but is one of them possibly a suggestion of leaning down just a little bit, maybe not being, carry as much weight, and maybe you lose a little bit of power, but instead of 500-foot homers, maybe it's just in 470. I would think it could be something that would be discussed, as they head into the offseason about how they want him to come into spring training. But first and foremost, they want to make sure that groin, repairs itself properly. He's not getting surgery, so they're kind of letting nature take its course.
The immediate rumors, even before Stanton got hurt, was that Alex Rodriguez was maybe something the Marlins could do. And then when Stanton goes down, everybody kind of jumps on that even more. But A-Rod's publicist comes out on Monday. Ron Berkowitz says he's not playing again in 2016. So I guess we got to believe that at this point. So if the Marlins do kind of look for some other answer to kind of fill in, is maybe Carlos Gomez a guy? I mean, he's a guy who's having a horrific year, obviously, with the Astros, but sometimes a new location can help, or are the Marlins just kind of go with what they have?
Well, it creates the immediate opening for Ichiro Suzuki to get regular playing time, and I guess it's not the worst thing in the world to have a future Hall of Famer replacing your three-time All-Star in right field. Now, obviously, a different type of player, and at 42 years old, we're going to find out if Ichiro can handle playing every day. But as you note, there are guys that are, on the market through waivers, potentially. Carlos Gomez being one of them. I'll throw a couple more names out there as well. Gerardo Parra could be a possibility, as is Jeff Francoeur. And at AAA New Orleans, already in the Marlins system, is Xavier Scruggs, who could play first base, right field, and is a power right-handed hitter. He has 19 homers in AAA, and Scruggs, for those who remember, Cardinal fans certainly do. He used to play for the Cardinals and has some big league time. He's a guy that could be up here probably more short-term, and then you'll see by the end of the month if they do make another move. How they do these final 2 weeks before, the September 1 the deadline could also play a factor. If they somehow fall out of it, what do they do then? If they stay in pat and just ride it out, or, they've come this far that they don't want to just mail it in.
Mark, big news for the Braves this week as it comes out on Tuesday night that Dansby Swanson is on his way to the Major League Club on Wednesday. Obviously, this is news that has kind of effects for right now, but also the future. I guess my first question is, he was in AA, not AAA. Obviously, the spot opens up for him with the trade, but he was hitting .261 the time of the trade in AA. Is he necessarily ready to make the jump to the major leagues?
I do think he is ready. I think what we have to remember about Dansby, and this probably is a message to fans that let's not expect too much too soon. Let's remember that he was in college just a year ago. Everything that he has experienced this summer is different than anything he experienced at any level playing baseball his whole life. You know, in terms of playing every day, the bus rides, just getting used to pro ball. I think what we saw, the offensive struggles that he had here over the last month were a product of, you know, were influenced by fatigue. Now, you look at that, you say, well, he's still going to be just as tired when he gets to the big league. So let's remember that the adrenaline is going to be flowing. I think when you saw this kid during spring training, he was as mature as anybody you could ever expect to have played basically 30 games at the pro level. At the same time, just as steady as can be in the field. And from what I understand, he's continued to play that, provide that steady glove throughout the season there at shortstop. And that's one of the primary reasons why, you know, 2 months ago they decided to switch Ozzie Albies to second base and basically go forward saying, look, Dansby Swanson is our shortstop in the future. I think from a mental perspective, he can handle it. Is he going to go through some growing pain? Sure. Would you like to see him, the numbers a little bit better when you promoted him? Yeah. But I think that, obviously the marketing and business people wanted Dansby Swanson up here as soon as possible because that's going to help sell some tickets. I think, you know, over the last week or two that the development people were able to come to agreement, hey, look, it's or get in line with what the business side of the Braves folks who were trying to think about creating some excitement, selling tickets and leading up to the new stadium. I think that from a developmental standpoint, they said, hey, look, we want to give him these 6 weeks of the season and see where he is heading towards next year. Because, you know, as we've known basically since they made the trade, is the plan was for him to be the starting shortstop next year. So, obviously, they've been trying to move Eric Eibar for probably since April. They couldn't move him for so long just because his numbers were so bad. He has hit a little bit recently. They've been calling the Tigers almost on a daily basis for over a month. And so finally, I guess the Tigers went ahead and relented and went with the deal, which just created a spot for Swanson. So there will be a lot of excitement down there at Turner Field, not only Wednesday night when Swanson makes his debut, but, you know, for the remainder of this homestand and beyond.
So obviously you get Swanson's feet wet, and that's a big deal leading into the 2017 season. But you also start his clock as far as arbitration and eventual free agency, Mark. That had to be something that the franchise kind of had to weigh on the other side of things.
I do. I think, you know, that has to be part of the thinking. But at the same time, I think they're looking at this guy just from what they got to know from during spring training. They probably gained that sense of confidence. Hey, look, we're probably going to try to buy out some RPers anyhow. Within the next year or two, give him an try and extend him beyond his arbitration clause or his arbitration years. And so I don't think that was as much a concern to them. As for Ozzie Albies, why he's not coming up yet, I think that I guess the easy answer is there was a need for a shortstop. There wasn't as much need for a second baseman yet. I do think we'll see Ozzie at second base, you know, for a lot of September. But for right now, I think they're going to let Jace Peterson, Gordon Beckham, and those guys continue to play. But as they look at Swanson, you know, they like the player. They like the personality. I do not want to say that Dansby Swanson is Derek Jeter in any way, shape, or form. But when you see the way he handles himself, just the maturity, his approach to the game, just the shorthanded type of shortstop, in those respects, he does draw some comparisons to what you would have thought a young Derek Jeter, or what we remember young Derek Jeter to be. I'm not trying to put him in that category or anything, but he does have that kind of personality, that kind of approach to the game. I think it's going to make him a fan favorite as soon as he gets here.
Wayne, thanks for stepping in for Anthony DiComo. He's usually here with us. He's off, and thank you so much for stepping in and taking some time to talk about the Mets.
Sure, Tim, no problem.
We're going to try to keep this positive. I know that's not an easy thing necessarily right now, but we're going to do our best. So I'll start by saying the Mets beat the Diamondbacks on Tuesday night, because that's certainly been a struggle. 1-4 now on the year against a team that obviously they should be beating up. 3 games back now in the wild card are the Mets. So despite everything that's gone wrong, Wayne, they're still in this thing, and maybe that's the positive spin, that if this team can kind of turn things around, start playing a little better baseball, that wild card berth is still there for the taking.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think the Mets, when you look at their schedule, you still see 7 games against the Marlins and even 3 against the Cardinals. Those are next week in St. Louis, so the Mets will have some opportunities to make up ground head-to-head against those teams. And really, they'll still play a heavy dose of the Braves. They've got the Twins coming to Citi Field in September. So it's possible, and it should be the case, that the Mets do start to beat up on some of these weaker teams. They haven't really this year. And I think that, as much as anything else, has caused their record to be a little bit below what they expected.
So Noah Syndergaard gets the win on Tuesday night. Can't get out of the 6th inning, though, and now that's 7 straight starts in which he doesn't get through 7 innings. Is that kind of the next step? I feel like for a starting pitcher, you get to the major leagues, you realize that you can get big league hitters out, you can pile up strikeouts, but at some point you got to be economical and be able to get deeper into games, and it seems like that's kind of one of the later things that come with young ace-type pitchers like a Noah Syndergaard. I think it's time he figures it out.
Well, I think in the case of Steven Matz, we've seen him have that struggle. He's been a guy who's typically been a middle-innings pitcher, and that's been it. Syndergaard, though, I think this is more of a regression in some way, because if you look back to last year, he was routinely pitching into the 7th and 8th innings, and it was something that he probably did about 30 or 40% of his starts. And even in the first half of this year, he would get up into the 7th and 8th inning with regularity. So I think it's more of just a later thing that's happened to him here these last 10 starts or so, where that really hasn't happened very much. And for whatever reason, he's kind of lacked the confidence to put hitters away early, to dominate the way that he did. I mean, you would see him have the strikeouts, but with much shorter counts than what you're seeing now. So for whatever reason, the slider hasn't been quite as sharp. The fastball has been good, but not putting hitters away with the movement that he used to have, at least earlier on in this season and all of last year. So it's just been a bit of a regression. Part of that could be just the fact that the innings from last year have caught up with him. He was the only guy who didn't show any effects of a long season coming back into the early part of this year. The others all did, and he really didn't. So maybe now this is his time to kind of just struggle through finding the dominance with his arm maybe not quite as fresh as it was.
Yeah, building up that stamina as far as that total innings count from season to season, certainly something that the young pitchers have to get through. He did homer on Tuesday night, so continuing to make a push for the Silver Slugger Award, so that's good. Wednesday night, as we record this Wednesday afternoon, Wayne, it's John Neese on the hill getting that start with the Mets again, although you look at the numbers out of the bullpen, you can't really say that he earned this chance, but it falls to him anyway. Give me a reason to be optimistic about what Jonathan Neese can give this team on Wednesday night.
Well, the Mets believe that Neese, when he was in Pittsburgh, had a couple of things going against him. One, we know Ray Searidge is a great pitching coach, but just didn't seem to gel with John Neese while he was there. Neese has had a long rapport with Dan Worthen. They know each other. They respect each other. And I think John is happy to be working with Dan again. On the other side of that, too, is the fact that the Pirates, with their defensive shifting, so much so that they really want their pitchers to pitch toward their shifts. And if that takes away your particular strength, then maybe you won't be as effective. And I think John Neese found that to be the case in Pittsburgh, that because of all the shifting that they were doing, he wasn't able to do what he normally likes to do on the mound, and the Mets will allow him to be more himself tonight. So I think John's excited to be back with the Mets. I think he's ready to go out there and show that he can still be an effective starting pitcher at the major league level, and he'll have that opportunity.